Amen. Mark 8, chapter number 10, and straightway he entered into a ship with his disciples and came into the parts of Dalmanutha. And the Pharisees came forth and began to question with him, seeking of him a sign from heaven, tempting him. And he sighed deeply in his spirit and saith, Why doth this generation seek after a sign? Verily I say unto you, there shall no sign be given unto this generation. And he left them and entering into the ship again, departed to the other side. You often wonder if you go to Matthew, the 15th chapter, that parallel portion of scripture of this, he says the only sign they'd be given is the sign of Jonas, or Jonah. As Jonah was in the whale's belly 3 days, 3 nights, even so shall the Son of Man be. And so why Mark doesn't put that, I don't know. The Lord doesn't give it, but he says that's the sign they'll give. That's the sign of the gospel. People want to know, say, show me a sign. Well, the Lord did. It's the gospel, the death, burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jonah said, out of the belly of hell, cried I. And so that's the sign the Lord gives. Verse 14, now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf. And he charged them, saying, Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, Is it because we have no bread? When Jesus knew it, he saith unto them, Why reason ye because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not yet, neither understand? Have ye your heart yet hardened? Having eyes, see ye not? Having ears, hear ye not? And do ye not remember? Now I want you to pay attention. He's not speaking to the Pharisees here. He's not speaking to a lost crowd. He's speaking to his own disciples. He's asking these questions. He says, verse 17, When Jesus knew it, he saith unto them, Why reason ye? Because ye have no bread. Perceive ye not, neither understand? Have ye your hearts yet hardened? Having eyes, see ye not? Having ears, have ye not? And do ye not remember? When I break the 5 loaves among 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? They said unto him, 12. And when the 7 among 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? They said, 7. And he said unto them, How is it that ye do not understand? I want to bring your attention to that statement. The Lord Jesus Christ asked this question to his disciples. How is it that ye do not understand? He said, How come you don't understand? Now, this story, the Lord Jesus Christ, they are in the ship. They're going to the other side there. They left. He was fed up with the Pharisees. They came to ensnare the Lord Jesus Christ. They came to tempt him. They wanted to try to get him in some sort of trap. And so they came and began to test him or tempt him. And they said, We don't see a sign from heaven. And the Lord said in the word that he sighed deeply. He was just fed up. He was really in his spirit. He was just distressed because they refused to believe him. And so he got into the ship there with his disciples. The disciples began to dispute because they didn't have enough bread. They had one loaf among 12 disciples. And the Lord Jesus Christ asked them the question. He says, How is it that you don't understand? How is it that you can't understand what I've been trying to show you, what I've been trying to teach you? He said, How many? He said, When I fed the 5,000, there were 5,000 men, not counting women and children. There were only 5 loaves and 3 fishes, 1 little boy's lunch. They found that. They brought it to the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ took that lunch and multiplied it and fed the 5,000 to the full. They were filled, the Bible says, and they also had 12 baskets left over. That's a picture of the Jewish. He was dealing with Jews at that point. He said, I have 12 baskets there. I am sufficient. I have enough. I can provide what you need. You bring it to the Lord Jesus. Here it is. The 4,000 is not the same miracle. Primarily, he was dealing, speaking to and feeding the Gentiles, not Jews. And so he has 7 baskets full. I believe those are the continents of the world is what I believe. I think he's saying, look, I have enough for the world, the Gentile world, and for the Jewish world. And he said, How is it you are worried about one little loaf of bread? You don't seem to have the understanding, spiritual understanding, that you ought to have as believers. And so he says, beware and take heed of the leaven of the Pharisees. The leaven of the Pharisees. Leaven is yeast. It's what it is. I want you to turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 13 with me, and there's a parable about leaven. And I'm going to try to describe leaven, or at least explain it, from this 13th chapter. Leaven is never referred to as good in the Bible. It is always referred to as evil. Leaven is never, yeast is not evil, but when God used the word leaven, it's always referred to evil. If you want to study a portion of Scripture or study a verse or a statement, you take it and you follow it all the way from Genesis to Revelation, or where it's first mentioned all the way through, and you can find out just by a Strong's concordance what it means, what its spiritual significance is. And so you can take the word leaven and you'll never see it as something good. It's always evil. And so in this Matthew, the 13th chapter, I want you to look at verse number 33. Another parable spake he, Matthew 13, 33, another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. I often wonder why the woman's there. But anyhow, I'm just telling you the level's not there. That's, the leaven's is not a good thing. And so in this portion of Scripture, he says, till the whole was leavened. Now he's describing the kingdom of heaven like a woman taking 3 parts of leaven or yeast and putting it into the rest of the meal until the whole is leavened. The whole is raised. The whole is actually consumed by that yeast. Now the kingdom of heaven is actually Christendom. Christianity as a whole. Not church, but Christianity. Whether it be in America or all over the world, he said the kingdom of heaven is like a woman that would take this leaven. This leaven is actually a false gospel, a false teaching that's being placed within the church. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees, one of their things is the Pharisees actually added to the Word of God. The Sadducees took away from the Word of God. That's what, if you read the other parallel account, Herod was a Sadducee, or at least he identified with the Sadducees. You say, how do you know this is the deal? Well, let's look at the surrounding parables here. Look, if you would, the parable, verse number 24, there's a parable of the wheats and the tares of this 13th chapter of Matthew. And he talks about the wheats and the tares. Look at verse number 30. Let's look at verse number 39. He says, but he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and in time of harvest I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into barn. Now this parable of the wheat and tares is the parable of the kingdom of heaven. He's describing the kingdom of heaven here by wheats and tares. I am a wheat. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, you are a wheat. But if you take a tare, when it first comes up, you know what it looks like? Looks like a wheat. Looks identical. And he's saying the kingdom of heaven is, with inside Christendom, there are a lot of people that may be sitting in a church, this one or others, that are tares that are wheat. We got the wheat over here and tares over here. There are wheats and tares. And so they said, should we go over there and pluck those tares up? He said, nay. He said, you wait till I send the reapers, the angels, for the rapture. I'll take the wheat and the tares. I'll separate them. You know, you and I could look at somebody, we judge them, and say, you know what, they're a tare. We can't see a person's heart. But Christ can. But he's saying the kingdom of heaven will be like that. Will be like the wheats and the tares. And then you won't know the difference. They'll have the words, they'll say the things that sound spiritual, that sound right. They may even preach out of the Word. They may even use the King James Version of the Bible. That doesn't mean they're born again. Doesn't mean they're saved. So he gives that wheat and tares, the parable there. I want you to look, if you would, not only the leaven, he says the mustard seed. Verse 31, parable of the mustard seed. You know, a mustard seed is the least of all the seeds. You put it in there, but the Bible says it grows up into a tree. He described the King of Heaven, and he says it's like that of mustard seed, and it grows up into a tree, and the birds or the fowls of the air lodge in that tree. If you study out those birds, you'll see those birds are demonic. They're demons. They're the devil's crowd. They steal the seed. Read the parable of the soil. They're the sower in the soil. You'll see that those birds snatch the seed from the heart of those people that were not saved. Romans chapter 10, he says, before that, we always quote Romans 10, 9 and 10. But before that, he said, thy word is very nigh thee and even in thy heart. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thy heart that God is raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. He said, the word's there even in your mouth and in your heart, but you're not saved. And so when the word is preached, that soil is sowed there. Those fowls are there snatching. And so he's saying there is unnatural growth, the kingdom of heaven. And in that unnatural growth, there are demonic, there's the devil's crowd right there amongst them. And when he deals with 11 here, he's dealing with the exact same thing, false teaching, false preaching in Christendom, in Christianity. And he says, till the whole be leavened, be corrupted. All of Christendom, not the gospel's corrupted, but Christianity is corrupted. And so he goes back. Let me give you some verses here the Lord Jesus talks about. You know, anything can be leaven in our life. He told the Pharisees, or the disciples, he says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. In Galatians, let me give you this verse. Galatians chapter number 5, verse number 9, he says, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Paul was talking about religion there. They wanted to add Judaism or the law with grace. He said, can't do it. He said, just a little leaven. Just a little will leaven the whole lump. Destroy it. It can't go together. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse number 6 and 7, Paul says to him, he says, purge out therefore the old leaven. There was fornication going on in the church. They were filled with pride. And he said, you need to purge out that old leaven. Get rid of it. Because just a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And when he comes back to these disciples, you know what he said? He said, why is it you don't have spiritual understanding? Why is it that your heart is hardened? To his disciples. He says, why is it you don't understand? You don't see it like you ought to see it. Because of the leaven, that leaven or leaveneth the whole lump. And he says, beware and take heed of the leaven. You know, this is not in my notes, but there are many things that's considered religion. And people enjoy. You know, the Pharisees were very religious. And they enjoyed their religion. Because it was something that man could do. And there are a lot of religions that are enjoyable, but they're not biblical. I'm talking about the practice of religion. It appeals to the flesh. And the Pharisees had a lot of fleshly religion. It appealed to the flesh. To burn a candle appeals to the flesh. To take and talk to a priest and confess your sins to a priest appeals to the flesh, but it's not biblical. To take an infant baby and baptize it with sprinkling appeals to the flesh. It feels good. But it's not biblical. It is leaven within the church. And that's what I'm trying to say. You just allow a little. Most people, they can take and listen to anybody on the radio, anybody on television, because it feels good. And they don't stop to think or listen and say, is this biblical? Is this what I ought to be allowing in my heart and in my life and in my home? God's children. Not necessarily lost people. God's children. So I want to show you just a few things, at least try to show you about the leaven of the Pharisees. Turn, if you would, back to Mark chapter number 8. I'm going to try to stay here if I can. That was a long introduction. I want to see verse number 1. The Pharisees, they refused to see. They refused to see. Back in Mark chapter number 8, I want you to look verse number 17 with me. And when Jesus knew it, he said unto them, talking to his disciples, why reason ye, because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not yet, neither understand? Have ye your heart yet hardened? Having eyes, see ye not. I want you to look at that statement. Having eyes, see ye not. And having ears, hear ye not. And do ye not remember? And so the first part of that statement, he says, don't you see? And the Pharisees refuse to see. I want you to look at verse number 12. And he sighed deeply, speaking to the Pharisees, in his spirit, and saith, why doth this generation seek after a sign? They wanted to see something. Verily I say unto you, there shall no sign be given unto this generation. The Pharisees came to the Lord Jesus Christ. They said, Lord, show us a sign. We want to see a sign. Not just any sign, but a sign from heaven. Now, I don't know. I looked through this book of Mark, and I just began to look all around this statement. There were a lot of signs that they saw. A lot of signs that the Lord Jesus Christ gave. You know, some people say, unless the Lord gives me a sign, I'm not going to believe. You know what they're basically saying? Unless I see it, I won't believe it. These Pharisees, they saw it. They saw the Lord. They saw God work. Let me look just by survey. Let's look through this portion of Scripture. I want you to look in the 5th chapter here with me, Mark chapter number 5. Mark chapter number 5, there's a man of Gadara, man that's demon-possessed. Had 6,000 demons with him. That's what legion means. 6,000 demons with him. He was possessed. He couldn't be held with fetters. He couldn't be held with chains. They couldn't bind him. They couldn't help him. They couldn't do anything for him. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he came out, when Christ came to the coast, that demon in that man came out, demons, and they began to speak to the Lord Jesus Christ, and God set that man totally free. And so when they come out to see him, he's in his right mind, and he's clothed, and he's listening to the Lord teach. They saw that. I want you to keep on looking. That same chapter. There was a man named Jairus, and his daughter was sick. And in the process of him asking the Lord Jesus Christ to heal his daughter died because another woman came to him. The woman had an issue of blood for 12 years. She had a medical issue. She was bleeding there. She said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment and touch, I'll be healed. And through her faith, she come in behind the press, touched the Lord Jesus Christ's garment, and was totally healed. And the Lord Jesus said, who touched me? And the disciples said, Lord, everybody's thronging me. Everybody's touching me. But somebody touched him because they touched him with faith, believing in him. She turned around and had to confess out of fear, Lord, that I was healed. She was healed at that very moment. And in the process, he was delayed. And they came to Jairus and said, don't bother the master anymore. Your daughter's dead. And so he says, don't you worry about it. He said, don't be afraid. Just believe. And so he goes to Jairus' house. He goes up there. The Bible says he raised that girl from the dead. Now here we see in one chapter, the demoniac there, the man of Gadara, totally healed. Jairus' daughter raised from the dead. This woman with issue of blood for 12 years had spent all she had and was the worst. And God totally healed her. Turn, if you would, to the 6th chapter. In Mark chapter number 6, you see the miracle there of feeding the 5,000. The Lord Jesus Christ takes this little lunch. He says to his disciples, he says to Philip, he said, when should we buy bread, these meat? Where are we going to feed them? How are we going to feed them, Philip? Trying to train his disciples. Philip said, 200 penny worth. A year's wage is not sufficient, Lord. He said, what do you have? So they brought it to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ took that lunch. He blessed it. He broke it. He gave it to his disciples, and disciples gave it to the people. That's how a preacher feeds you. He has first to be fed by the Lord. He's training his disciples. And so he feeds the 5,000. There were probably at least 15,000 people that were filled and 12 baskets left over. Then you see this miracle. He just performed the 4,000. The exact same thing. And so the Pharisees said, Lord, show us a sign from heaven. Well, Jesus Christ was from heaven. And they had all these signs. They refused to see. Refused to see. You know, people are like that. I'm going to give you a kind of a poor illustration. It's a good illustration for mother. My mother's not here, and I'm on record as far as being recorded. I hope she doesn't listen to this message. But I had a brother. I loved him to death. We were polar opposites. But my brother got hooked on drugs and was in and out of jail pretty much all his life. But you could talk to my mother. I mean, you could see, everybody else could see my brother and could see him for the worthless state that he was in. Not a worthless man, but the worthless state he was in. But yet she couldn't see it. Not that she couldn't see it. She refused to see it. You know, they say love is blind. Well, it's the same thing a lot of times. People refuse to see. They refuse. Just like this Pharisees, they refuse to see the sign that God gave them. Not that they couldn't. They wouldn't. Many people won't get saved because they will not believe. They will not see what God has given them. They're looking for a sign, and the sign the Lord gives. I want you to turn to John chapter number 5 with me. I want to show you the witness that these disciples or these Pharisees had. Same witness that you and I have. John chapter number 6, I'll read it to you there. In verse number, I believe it's number 36. He says, but I said unto you that ye also have seen me, and what? Believe not. But I say, John 6:36, let's read it again. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me, and believe not. So the Lord Jesus Christ talking to them, they had their own personal belief. You see, they refused to believe or refuse to see because it was contrary to what they believed and contrary to what they perceived by the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, they believed what they were taught. Many of you will not be saved or won't change your opinion about the Lord Jesus Christ or change your belief because you have some sort of belief system that you were raised by. For some reason, you're stuck in that belief. And there's nothing somebody could show you in the Bible from God's holy word that you believe. And that's exactly how these Pharisees were. They had all kinds of witnesses. I want you to look with me here, these witnesses, at least in the 5th chapter. In verse number 31, I want you to see, there's the witness of John the Baptist. John the Baptist was the first one that came on the scenes. And John the Baptist began to preach the gospel message. And thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, came to the Lord Jesus Christ by repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And their lives were changed. They openly professed Jesus Christ. Not like baptism is today. It would be like maybe an Arab that's there over in Iran that gets saved and openly professes before all of his people that he put his faith in Jesus. That's how it was to be baptized into Judaism, or at least as a Jew, from Judaism into Christianity. It meant something. It was a testimony. And Jesus Christ sent John the Baptist, and John the Baptist was the forerunner for Christ, and these Pharisees saw and heard the message of people's lives being saved and the gospel message. Can I also say this? I've already mentioned it. The witness of the work of Christ, that's the miracles. They saw that over and over again. But they wanted a sign from heaven. If you look in the 37th verse of the 5th chapter, and the Father, I'm going to read it, and the Father himself, which has sent me, hath bore witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding you, from whom he has sent him, ye believe not. Now they wanted a sign from heaven. John the Baptist took the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Messiah, baptized him. When he was come out of the grave, the Bible says that a spirit, like a dove, the Holy Spirit came and dwelt on the Lord Jesus Christ. Wasn't that a sign from heaven? Didn't the Pharisees able to see the evident power of God's approval? He said, this is my beloved Son whom I'm well pleased. But yet they didn't refuse to see it, a sign from heaven. Let me give you another witness that you and I have today, and they have. Look at verse number 39. We have the witness of Scripture. They had the witness of the prophets, the Old Testament, Moses, and the law there. So they had the testament, the witness of the Word of God. He says, verse 39, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. They had all kinds of signs. They said, Lord, make the moon turn to blood. Call a star down from heaven. Do something fire down from heaven. Do something. If we see that sign, we'll believe. They even said it when he was on the cross. If he had come down from that cross, they'd believe. They had all these witnesses, but they refused to see. The Lord's disciples had all these witnesses that they saw time and time and time again. But yet their own heart was being hardened, and they failed to see the sufficiency of who Christ was. Saved. It's the same thing with lost people. They had, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Then he says the leaven of Herod. I want you to look at the leaven of Herod. I want you to look with me in Mark chapter number 6. Mark chapter number 6. We're in Mark chapter 8. But in Mark chapter number 6, I want to show you about Herod. Now the Sadducees, like I said, they just didn't believe the Bible. They believed the resurrection. They didn't really believe the Bible. Well, Herod was identified with them. By the way, if you look at, I think we see some of that today in politics. Herod there was a leader. And I think he probably was the one man that maybe even said he was saved. You know, you look at these political ads for congressman, for senator, the state of Alabama, and they all claim to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, love the Lord Jesus Christ, and follow His Word. Don't they? Now they may, I don't know. But it seems like the political crowd is going down the same way. You look at the Democrat, and you look at every one of those candidates, including one that's a known professed homosexual, says he loves the Lord. He's a Christian. Sound like what the political world is doing, the same thing that Herod would probably do. I want you to look here and let's look at Herod's life, at least what he represents. Mark chapter number 6, verse number 20. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and a holy, and observed him. When he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. Now we're talking about Herod now. Herod beheaded John the Baptist. But that verse says that he knew that John the Baptist was a just and a righteous man. He knew that he was a holy man. He knew that he was a prophet of God. And the Bible says he gladly heard him. He liked to hear the preaching of John the Baptist. You know, there are people in churches that love to hear a good message. They want to see a good miracle. That's exactly what they did in that day. And Herod was one of them people. You say, how do you know that? Well, in Luke chapter number 23, verse number 8, this is what it says. When Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. He loved to hear John the Baptist preach. He loved to see some sort of miracle by the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what his desire. If you looked at probably Herod, you would say he would be the type of man, he would make a profession of faith in Christ, believe and follow the Lord. Oh, he loved to hear a good sermon. He knew he was just. He knew he was holy. He knew he was God's man. Yet he cut his head off. You know what it was? He said, it's a wicked and an evil generation that seeketh after a sign. They claim one thing, they live another. There are a lot of people in churches, they want to hear a good message. But did it make a difference in your life? Make a difference in mine? Doesn't matter necessarily what you hear with the ears. It's what you hear with your heart. That's why I pray often, because I pray it for myself, that I would say yes to the Lord Jesus Christ. Not later, but before anything else. Some people just come to church, they just want to hear a message. Check off the box, they've been to church. They have no intention of doing anything about it. The Pharisees refused to see. The Pharisees and the Sadducees and Herod refused to hear. You know the Bible, if you read that verse, you said that he did many things, John the Baptist. Felix was a man who was in a place of leadership. The Apostle Paul gave his testimony. The Bible says he reasoned to Felix and to the crowd of righteousness and temperance and judgment to come. And Felix said, come back some more convenient season. He trembled, the Bible says. And Felix trembled under conviction. But he had absolutely no intention to doing with anything what he heard. We're going to make a difference in his life. Some people, they see, but they don't see. Some people hear, but they never hear in the heart because they never intend to do anything. And when you come back to the failure of the disciples, I just put, they refused to apply it to their life. We're back in Mark chapter number 8. But in our statement, verse 21, he said, how is it that you do not understand? Verse 17, we'll read it. When Jesus knew it, he saith unto them, why reason ye? Because ye have no bread. Perceive ye not yet, neither understand? Have ye your hearts yet hardened? Having eyes, see ye not? Having ears, hear ye not? And do ye not remember? And then he asked, how is it that ye do not understand? The Lord Jesus Christ took his disciples and he taught them what they needed to get. They needed to get it from the Lord. The Lord was all sufficient. He was able to provide their need. He showed it to them with the 5,000. He showed it to them with the 4,000. But yet here they had one little loaf. And they failed to see the Lord's sufficiency. They failed to believe him. They failed to remember what the Lord had taught them. And he says, why is your heart hardened? Why can't you understand spiritual truth? Because you let leaven come in your heart. And the little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. The whole lump. You know what it was? They saw. They did hear. But they never took and made that application to their own life. How many times have you ever heard a sermon preached and you knew the Lord was speaking to you? You knew it. I'm not talking about, as he said, you just knew the Holy Spirit. If you've ever been spoken to by the Holy Spirit, you know what I'm talking about. You're in a service and you know the Holy Spirit speaking to you. But yet, you know your heart's convicted, but you don't do anything with what God spoke to you about. That was the failure of the disciples, as they failed to apply what they saw, what they heard, and they hardened their heart. Weak faith. They had lack of biblical understanding of God in their life. All because they would not make the application in their life. Saul, King Saul, started out. You know the Bible says that he was, Samuel said, this is God's man, this is God's king for you. He started out humble. But somewhere along the way, he refused to wait on God. He offered a sacrifice instead of waiting on Samuel. When Samuel said, look, you destroy everything there. You're going to war, you destroy everything. I'm talking about the cattle, the women, the children. You slaughter it all. He come back, and he kept the choicest of the cattle. And Samuel said, did you obey the Lord? He said, well, I kept the choicest for sacrifice to the Lord. He said, to obey is better than sacrifice. You know what Saul refused to do? He refused to obey. He refused to make that application in his own life. And he started out. The Lord said by Samuel that God has rent the kingdom from you. He would establish the kingdom on this earth forever through Saul. But Saul failed to apply what God had taught him and what he knew to do in his own life. And he really ended up a failure. He went to, later in his life, to a witch trying to find what the Lord's will was for his life. It was no longer God would speak to him. Why? Hardness. Why? Leaven. Lack of spiritual understanding. Because he would not take what he heard and make application in his life. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. You may be here this morning and you don't know Christ as your Savior.